buyers. We know that there's a big push in this country to build more houses. Obviously, one of the reasons house prices are so high is limited supply. So my suspicion is, and I don't know, but from conversations I've had, if there is stuff in the budget for first-time buyers, it will probably be, it's more likely to be positive than negative in terms of helping first-time buyers.
Okay, but that would imply house prices are coming down, because that's the biggest thing to help first-time buyers.
Well, no, it doesn't. That isn't the only inflation I'm talking about. It's putting specific policies in place.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the classic thing. What, you know, we live in this weird economy where for years we talk about inflation as a bad thing unless it's with houses, when we suddenly go, oh, it's a good thing. We want house price inflation in double digits. Well, it's not particularly. The only people who gain from house price inflation are the people who are downsizing, selling a bigger place and getting a smaller place. And when you're a first-time buyer, you don't gain from house price inflation. If you own a house and you're living in it, well, you don't gain from the house price inflation, especially if your next move is to trade up for a bigger place, the gap tends to grow. Have we got another quick one we can do just before the end on
mortgages? Yeah, why aren't offset mortgages more popular? Seem overlooked to me.
Great question. I totally agree with that. There are several schools of thought here. So the offset mortgage is where you can offset, if you've got £100,000 worth of savings, for example, and you've got a £300,000 mortgage, you only pay interest on £200,000, so they're put together. Part of it is because, if we're honest, it doesn't really make the lenders money, because they have something in the background called capital adequacy laws, which they have to fulfil. So it doesn't actually, it's very hard for them to price. And also, a lot of lenders don't have the systems to actually make it work.
And my view is they often tend to be quite expensive. So people who've got 20, 30 grand worth of savings, well, you might get a slightly better rate on your savings, but for that, you're having to pay much more interest on the rest of your mortgage. And of course, at this point in time, where we're talking mortgage rates of 3.7% and savings rates of 5%, well, you might be better just putting the money into savings, depending on the tax issue. But that's a discussion for another day. The music's playing. I'll shut up.
Thank you very much, Andrew Montlake. What was the name of the company again?
Corico.
Corico, a mortgage broker. Thank you very much indeed, Martin. I'll be back tomorrow at 11. Matt Chorley is next.
The Voice of the UK.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Very good afternoon to you. Thanks, Adrian. Yeah, it's 2 o'clock. It's Matt Chorley coming to you live from Westminster over the next couple of hours. Today, we've got another spin class. Today, looking at kissing, amongst other things. Bear with us for that. Plus, Sir Graham Brady will share what happened when he had a front row seat on political history and just how many letters of no confidence did he really get. I'll tell you what else is coming. I'll have to get the latest news from Laura Harms.
The BBC has been told one of the prisoners who was wrongly let out of jail under the government's early release scheme was charged with a new offence on the day he was freed. The measure was put in place because of prison overcrowding. Amari Ward is one of 37 people who shouldn't have been allowed out because he'd been convicted of breaching a restraining order. Our political correspondent is Hannah Miller.
Amari Ward, who is 31, had his case brought through the courts under older, out-of-date legislation. And that meant that when it came to working out who could and couldn't be released, the system didn't flag up that he was ineligible. He was let out, then on the same day, allegedly went on to commit sexual assault.
Five of those who were mistakenly released haven't been located. The Ministry of Justice says it's working with police to urgently return a small number of offenders to custody. The Met Police says it's investigating whether anyone else has committed criminal offences relating to the sexual assault and rape claims made against Mohammed Al-Fayed. The BBC has heard testimony from more than 20 former Harrods employees who say the billionaire sexually assaulted or raped them. He died last year. Our Home Affairs correspondent Daniel Sanford has been reading the latest police statement.
They are appealing for victims to come forward and contact the police. They also say that they are in contact with the lawyers representing the women to make sure that anybody who has featured in the media coverage or is in contact with the lawyers also has an opportunity to put information into their investigation. They say we must fully explore whether any other individuals could be pursued for any criminal offences.
A large blast has been heard in Lebanon's capital, Beirut.